the bones and in the back.
Here to take up with America, Mr.
Back in 1693, the people of Salem, Massachusetts.
Witches!
Yes?
Thought they got rid of the Sanderson sisters for good.
We shall be back!
300 years later, it's Halloween Eve, and they're back.
Uh-oh.
We're home.
Are you broads a little old to be trick-or-treating?
We're talking about three ancient hags versus the 20th century. How bad can it be?
Now they're digging up old friends. And running amok. Looking for the one thing they miss most.
You stay for supper.
I'm not hungry.
But we are.
Only one boy has the power to stop them.
Prepare to die again.
You have no powers here, you fool.
Before all Salem falls under their spell.
I'm gonna tell you.
Disney Pictures presents Bette Midler.
Hello.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Would thou dance with me?
And Kathy Najimy. Hocus Pocus.
Into the night!
They love to fly. And it shows.
Good night. Sleep tight. No screaming.
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. And that's us on the path.
Oh, yeah.
It's the two witches and two bitches.
Yeah, there's two bitches on this podcast.
It's the end of spooky season. It's already over. This is the final one.
It's absolutely flown over. And I've loved spooky season so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Halloween is fast becoming like my favorite, except it's too goddamn hot here. It's still in the 80s.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel it's going to. Well, actually, by the time y'all listen to this, it will be like 50 something because we're dropping like 30 degrees.
Is that right?
Of Halloween. Yeah. It's typical. What happens here is there's a high of like 82 and then a day later, it's a high of 50. We're going to go from 80 degrees to freezing 32 degrees within a span of like under 36 hours.
Oh, no. See, at least we're consistent. At least we're consistently shit, flooding, cold.
Yeah. No, I'll take the summer heat, but now is when it starts to get... I just want it cold. I want cold.
I don't mind the cold, but for me, this week has been like a drastic change in light, like sunlight.
Yeah.
So I get up at 6, and this week I just haven't been able to get up until like 6:30. It's just your brain doesn't click into action in the same way when there's not even a little bit of sunlight. So
nope, daylight savings is coming, but also it coming is. Up we've got a few, like three things to just boom go over.
Oh,
real
let's
quick
go then.
First one is our anniversary. The 2-year anniversary. Yay. Of the podcast is coming up next month. We'll have something special, do a little special stream and event on your channel, so make sure y'all stay tuned for that info.
I'm looking forward to that because it coincides with my 1-year Twitch partner anniversary as well. So I'm just going to make it one big day of streaming. I'll do a stream before you wake up or before you get involved for the Twitch partner. And then we can get on into the more fun after party on the path podcast celebrations.
Not too many spoilers, but 24-hour stream is coming.
Never.
So make sure to check out that. Also, show related stuff directly. December coming up is our Christmas holiday month. We've got kind of normal November. I will say this though, looking at our schedule, we got some massive big time movies coming up in November.
Yeah, are we doing like another summer blockbuster month
it feels
in November
like,
somehow?
Yes, it feels like it's going to be not like summer blockbuster, but massive blockbuster. Like big names coming up for November. Christmas will be holiday themed. And also what we've decided to do is January, to ring in the new year, we've decided to do a bad movie request month. And we've kind of done this before.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we've kind of done this before. I know on the Patreon, we've had them suggest and we picked one out of a hat. This one will be open to everybody about that. So just tell us what it is. Give us a reasoning. And, you know, if we, when we choose it, we'll read it off on here. And if we can actually get like a thing to call in.
Oh my God, if you can send voice notes, can you send voice notes on Discord? You can send voice notes on Instagram. I'm pretty certain they've just included it as a feature on Twitter. So if you have a way of contacting us via voice note, that would be amazing. And then we can play it out over the podcast as well. Yeah, I want to hear the pitch for why it's a bad movie and why you want to hear us talk about it. Go the whole thing.
I think somebody
video
said
essay
like,
would be great.
Well, no, not that long. Keep it under. Well, we'll get all those details as well. We'll get all that. I think Gmail also might have something like that if we can get like a number or something to do. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. Email us podonthepath@gmail.com about anything, but that as well. If you want more of us, check us out, patreon.com/onthepath. All the extra stuff in there. The spooky month, again, has been Scream, the first one, as well as other stuff going back now, almost. Well, I know it's about a year, I think, we've been doing it. Earlier this year, about 6-7 months, we've done the Patreon.
Is that right? Wow.
I think, because we did it
No, it must be over a year, because the first thing we did was House of the Dragon.
Oh,
no?
My God. Was that in November?
Year. House of the Dragon came out, was out, like, now.
Oh, my God. Really?
Wow. There we go. 1 year anniversary of the Patreon as well.
All right, well, there you go. Yeah, so you got a year's worth of stuff for that as well. Check us out, the Discord link below. Best place to get in touch with us and the community. All a bunch of different crazy stuff in there and good stuff in there, wholesome stuff in there. And then all the socials linked there. But now, without further ado, we are going to get into... We didn't even say what this was over. Shit. Okay.
No, we didn't. You didn't really read the title.
Oh, I just did the double... Yeah. There you go. They should know it in that sense. Yeah, we're here for 1993's Hocus Pocus.
And what else happened that year?
What was else? Was anything else? Oh, we're talking about Jurassic Park.
Well, kind of.
Oh, you
also,
mean...
it was my birthday.
Oh, okay. Not the Waco siege. Not the Branch Davidian siege.
No, I was going to say that's when I was born.
You're born. Look at that.
And also Jurassic Park.
You're as old as Jurassic Park. Wow. Yeah. Weird. Interesting.
Is that weird? Yeah, I guess it's kind of weird.
It is, because I don't think of Jurassic Park being 30 fucking years old.
Yeah. Good that's Lord. Sad.
Good Lord. Okay, well, that just sent me again to an existential crisis. But here we go. The budget of this movie, $28 million American dollars. What do you think the box office was?
I think it probably did well, but it's 1993.
Yeah.
I'm going to go at a humble 80 million.
49.
No more.
49.8 million. No, this movie was not a success at all. It wasn't.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, it wasn't a bomb by any means. But yeah, again, going back to the Hollywood accounting and all that crap, this was not a big deal, but a massive, massive cult following, especially from people about our age, has really ridden this into the sequel last year, which I heard was terrible.
I was going to say, I've never watched, this is my first watch of the film today, just a few hours ago. But I've always been aware of it. Like you say, it is a massive cult classic. And yeah, I wasn't super excited when I heard they were doing a sequel, because I thought some things just need to be left alone.
Yeah. And it's weird because
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. But I literally know people who love it, who watch it, and nobody, I haven't heard a good thing from anybody.
Oh, no.
I know. And it's
same cast, like the three witches.
The three witches, yeah.
Yeah.
I know at least Sarah Jessica Parker and Bette Midler came back. Because it was like one thing that Bette Midler always wanted to do again. Because it was the most fun she said it was the most fun she ever had on a movie up to that point.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know what she did afterwards. But yeah. Yeah, she was far and away the best. But let's go. There was, directed by Kenny Ortega. We'll go through the writer and the director real quick, because I know I got a bunch of notes in this thing. Okay. But we'll get the director, Kenny Ortega. And at first I was like, oh, I never heard of him. And then I look at his filmography, St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Dirty Dancing. Like
all
this
of
dude,
the High School Musical films.
Dude, apparently all, wait, he did, I just have him in High School Musical 3.
Okay. I had him down as High School Musical 3, and then the other two popped up, so maybe he's else on the other two.
Maybe it's suggested, because, yeah, this is his filmography, and it just has that he did the third one.
Okay.
And, yeah, so after this was Two Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. So he was, but this, I mean, Dirty Dancing, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Pretty in Pink, and St. Elmo's Fire, did all four of those from 1985 to 87.
Whoa.
I know. Like, seminal 80s movies this guy directed, all within that perfect, like, mid-80s.
What a guy. Yeah, he's working.
He is. And again, sorry, I never heard of him, but
yeah.
So he kind of fell off after that, it seems.
Oh, well, he did had a great run.
Yeah, that's tough. All right. So the writer on here, I should say, as I click to find his name again, Mick Garris, and it was Neil Cuthbert, but Neil Cuthbert didn't have anything to on there. So I got Mick Garris. The thing to see about him is 1987's Batteries Not Included and 1992's Sleepwalkers, which is Stephen King story.
Ah, okay. I had The Others written down from Mick Garris.
The Others. What is that?
It's a horror film, but it's...
Is that the one with Naomi Watts in them?
I think so.
Okay.
I remember I'm watching it when I was really young.
Okay, but I'm looking at Wikipedia's filmography and does not have the
Maybe
Others on
Maybe I need
to,
stop looking at IMDb, because why is IMDb telling me all these fake news? I thought Wikipedia was meant to be the unreliable source.
Just make sure with IMDb you go under the, writer tab.
Yeah, I do that.
Different tabs.
I'm going to double check. Okay. I'm going to double check.
Am I on the right Mick Garris? Yeah, he's right here.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, Hocus Pocus in here. Michael Jackson's Ghost. Something. The Fly 2. Critters 2. Good Lord. His director's debut was Critters 2. Oh, those are some movies right there.
Who was I looking at? Mick Garris.
Mick Garris. So, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, so what gets confusing in IMDb is it has Rider, okay? And then it has Previous. And it has... Oh, I apologize. It's the other TV series. So that might be why it's not coming up in his filmography.
Mm-mm-mm.
Don't come here if you want facts, people.
There you go.
I just say whatever I want.
All right, we're off to a nice, smooth start here. Let's leave the director and the writer behind, and let's get into the actual movie of Hocus Pocus. The first thing that stuck out to me was the old Disney jingle.
That's what it was, like a classic Disney opening, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then all the people's names come up on the screen before the film's begun. I love that.
And whenever people say, you're going to hear a lot of old heads talk about, they don't make movies like this anymore. They don't make movies like this anymore. This is a PG movie. It is Disney. And it is outrageously horny at times.
Mm.
And the subject matter. And it mentions I had a virgin counter on there. It's because it said so many times. And I've got the most outrageous line I can remember from a kid's movie, and we will get there as I just lose it.
Okay, I have an idea of what it might be, but the whole virgin thing was so weird to me because it just wasn't necessary. Like, there was no need for that to be like, oh, a virgin is going to light the candle. And I was like, why though? Why do they say it so much? It's so uncomfortable.
They say it so much.
16 years old.
But then, yes, they treat this like 15, 16-year-old kid who's a virgin. They're like, you're not really a virgin, are you? You fucking loser. You're a virgin.
I know.
I'm sorry. Did I watch a Disney movie? A PG movie from the
15? 90s? This is the same Disney that then has like the Jonas Brothers wearing purity rings for their entire lives.
Yeah, and it's something too that I think once it was pointed out to me, I didn't really notice, and now it's so obvious. That PG now is like G, and PG
what
back
G?
Then it's like G now. A PG movie is basically G. Like, you can't have anything.
Okay,
I'm talking about subject matter. G is general audience. It's like nothing. It's like animated baby kids movie, stuff like that.
Yeah,
and like the old PG-13 is now like the old PG.
Right. Okay. Get it.
Yeah. So something like this movie, if you put this movie everything word for word verbatim, I don't think it would not be PG, because people would lose their shit at all the virgin stuff and all that.
Inappropriate, not necessarily swear words or anything like that, but it's just like the context is a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why everyone now is a bunch of put. that very much noticed.
This podcast is rated R.
Rated R. All right. So this, the Thackeray Binks back in, was, I should know this because of history. What was it?
300 years ago.
Yeah, it's like 1680s, 1690s would have been.
It'll be 1693.
Yeah, 1690s. There you go. And this guy, I can't remember, Sean something. This is a guy from NCIS, a very popular American show that he was on forever. He was not the voice. The voice was another guy, a guy named James Marsden.
What?
Yeah, the voice was somebody different. Unless they meant for Binks the cat, was a different voice.
Oh, maybe. But I did notice a lot of times in this film, it looked like the words, like the mouth and the voice
didn't
match
up. Sync up, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, is that just like a little bit of sloppy editing or what's
ADR
going on?
ADR or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so this is just walking around barefoot, like put some goddamn shoes on. Like, I know it's 1690 or something, but you're walking in the mud.
Yeah, they spoke so funny as well. Like, there's something about American accents doing like ye old English just doesn't sound right to me.
Every single, it's so funny how it works. Was it colonial times? If it's like immediate revolutionary times, then they're talking like modern Americans. But if it's any way before, like colonial, like 100 years before, then it becomes old pilgrim, you know, something like that, where they're talking.
Hast thou seen my sister?
Oh, my God. What's thou bidding today? And it's like, they're not fucking Shakespeare. Like,
it was so bizarre. And it's just, you get away with it if you have like a ye old English accent as well. But when it's an American accent, it just doesn't sound right, does it?
No, but that's like the pilgrim. That's what it is. Yeah. Ye old pilgrimage thing there.
Mm-hmm. That was what I remember earlier. I was talking to you about Lords of the Fallen.
Yeah.
It's this new like Souls-like game that I've been playing. And it's very similar to Elden Ring and Dark Souls 2, apparently. It's like medieval style setting, very old school. But all of the characters have got American accents. So it's just so off-putting. You'll get this big, grand... the only word I can describe is medieval. And then she's like... you come before me with this da da da. It just sounds wrong. I don't get it.
Well, now you're selling it on me because that's what I
want. You
want
to try?
I want American representation in my medieval fantasy.
There you go. Lords of the Fallen is for you.
There you go. I need to check that out. So he's looking for his sister Emily, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Looking for Emily. Some witches took her. They head out to the woods, and Winnie opens, Bette Midler, Winnie opens it, and it's, oh, look, another glorious morning. Makes me sick. That's where
I finally know the meme.
Where that comes from, yeah.
Yes, yes, everybody says that, you know, on Twitter and shit, and now I know.
Very famous. Yeah, we see the three witches here. Obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously. To me, the highlight of the movie, Bette Midler is absolutely killing it, just right out of the shoot here. She's great. She makes the entire movie for me.
Yeah, she has so much fun with this Winifred character, and she's so over the top. I love the makeup and the hair and the outfits as well. They're so, you know, ridiculous. The lipstick I love, where they have just the little
and
strange
the buck
shape.
Teeth, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's teeth. Great. The whole thing is just, it works so well. And she's, you know, obviously the one in charge, and the other two are perfect kind of sister dynamic where they're scared of her, but they also like to take the piss out of her a lot as well.
Yeah, and there's Sarah, easily enough played by Sarah Jessica Parker, so it'll be easy to remember her name.
This is 5 years pre Sex and the City.
Was that 98? Dang.
Mm-hmm. When it first came out, it was 98, yeah.
Man, so that was 98. Sopranos was 99. There's your prestige TV, HBO.
Yes, HBO kicking things off.
Doing stuff different and a little better. And then there's Mary, played by Kathy Najimy, who I will always know as Peggy Hill, the mom from King of the Hill.
Oh, really?
The voice. And I can just slowly hear, and she's doing it different, but I can just hear that hinge of Peggy Hill from her in this.
She was the weird sister, right? She kept like barking. Yeah.
She was the one that was riding the Hoover vacuum, the corded vacuum. Yeah, she was a little off out there.
I love it.
Yeah, they were all great. They do something to the daughter. I think I put down here they kill the daughter, but they don't.
thought they did kill her.
Well, she comes back at the end, right?
I thought it was a ghost.
Oh, is that a ghost?
Well, yeah, because he's dead. It's like 300 years later.
But the kid, interesting. Okay, well, I guess they, again, Disney. I wouldn't think they'd do it. I guess they kill her? So
yeah.
So when Binks dies at the end, he actually dies? I thought it was just his, like, kitty
body. But
they
look like spirits.
I thought that was just bad editing and lighting.
Oh, maybe.
No,
but
I'm
then
kidding.
No, you're not.
No, you're right. They, like, go through a gate. Is that supposed to be, like, the gates of heaven?
Yeah, I think they're dead.
All right, podcast
because
is
he
over,
says
right?
My soul is free now that the witches are dead. They're going to go to heaven.
Oh no! Oh no!
Oh,
oh no! Allergies.
I'm sorry, I've just ruined your childhood. Brett is muted so that he can cry because learning that actually the young girl did die.
No, I actually had two massive sneezes right there. Yeah, I couldn't contain myself. No, it's more I'm going to get mad at the kitty dying, but we'll get there. Okay, so they kill the daughter and turn old boy into a cat. And, oh, this little old kitty.
Oh, I didn't realize that this was going to be set in Salem. And I had a cat called Salem when I was 11 and we moved to Ireland, to Northern Ireland. My mum's bargaining chip was that she would get me a black cat.
No way.
And I could call it Salem. Yeah. So
Was it for Sabrina?
It was for Sabrina.
Yes.
Sabrina Salem. Yeah. So
Sabrina the teenage witch.
I don't like talking about my cat's loads because people think you're like a creepy cat lady, but he was just the best cat ever, and I could like cry thinking about him. And in the scene later in the film where the younger sister is cuddling her cat in bed and he's like just all curled in, I was like getting teared up because my cat was just the best. And he was like Salem. Proper cuddly little boy. So yeah, this was nice little surprise for me.
Yeah, a little black kitty. I like black cats. You don't see them too often.
No, you don't. And they're the last to be adopted at shelters. So go get yourself a black cat this Halloween.
People always terrorize them during Halloween and they think they're evil and the devil's doing stuff.
I genuinely used to keep Salem in the house over like...
Really?
From the week of like Halloween till fireworks night. I don't know if you guys do fireworks night on the 5th of November.
Is that Guy Fawkes Day?
It is Guy Fawkes Night, yeah.
Why the hell would we do stuff for Guy Fawkes Day?
Yeah, I know. Well, people think that we celebrate Thanksgiving, so...
I think Americans think that because they're like, wait, what do you do? Yeah. It's like the people here, they're like, what do the British do on July 4th? I'm like, what do you do on August 17th? I'm like, oh, you go. It's just nothing. It's a random day.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
That's what it is then. I'm like,
I was thinking, God, is that like a specific date here that we should be celebrating?
No, I tell them that British people get really upset and they like turn off the news and they stay in on July 4th because they're like, they mourn. They're like, oh my God.
America, come back.
All right, so the town folks arrive and they are pissed. And I think Thackeray's dad is in the wrong movie because he is like acting like this is a drama and it's for real. It's just like, dude, you're a little too serious for this Hocus Pocus movie.
Yeah, it was very, very serious all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He's like, this is when they haven't figured out where the son has gone, right?
They're like, yeah, they don't know. My and son? The daughter, yes. Yeah.
But then they have the daughter.
What do you mean?
Don't they? Don't they have the daughter at that point?
I just don't think they cared about the daughter.
Oh, wait, I'm going to have to rewatch that scene because I'm sure they have her with them. And then they're like, okay, we have the daughter. Where's our son?
So what happens to the girl? Because she's a little girl at the end. She has to die. Did we watch the fucking movie? Oh my God. I really hope nobody is listening for the first time.
No,
do these people watch the fucking movie?
I did watch it, but I'm confused now because... I thought she died in that moment, but now I'm trying to think, am I misremembering that scene where the dad is like, what have you done with my son?
I just don't think they give a shit about the little girl. He just wants his son.
Yeah, yeah. They just need that the bloodline to continue with the son, right?
They're like, where's Emily? Who? Our daughter? We have a boy missing, so look out. We got a boy. Yeah, but again, like, I know it's the third time. I know I'm going to keep saying it. Disney got some edge to them here. They just look like they killed a girl, and then they hang. These women, and they show their feet.
The feet.
I'm like, goddamn, Disney, there you go. Do some stuff like this again.
Yeah, I was shocked that they did that. Because you see them with the noose around their necks. I was like, oh, where's this going? And Sarah's going, you know, oh, this thing's itchy, you know, and it's just kind of making fun of it almost. She knows it's not serious. So I didn't think we were going to see the feet swinging. It is crazy how different Disney films are now.
Yeah, the 90s were better. Back in my day, when I was a kid, it was better than now. Nobody says that, right?
Nobody says that.
Nobody does. We do get the first mention of Virgin. So the Virgin counter is one now as we leave, because it had to do with the Virgin having to light the candle. I think I called it a black hat candle. Black flame candle. Yeah. 300 years, blah, blah, blah. So now we get to the present day, or for now 30 years ago, which feels like 300 years ago. Or it feels like it would be that way.
30 years ago, man. What the fuck?
We get to this old kook teacher dressed as a witch telling her high school class like all this fucking story of the Sandersons and like spooking and scaring them. Like, get the fuck out of here. Kids ain't gonna
be scared. You don't do
that? No. Back then, I
wouldn't tell them a story.
What?
Tell your students a spooky story.
I did. You know what I did? Speaking of, it's going to be the second fucking reference here of David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. We just covered cults and psychology. So I did get to tell them stories about the spooky government going in and burning down the Mount Carmel. And
oh my goodness.
Like, it's so scary. That's why you just do real world stuff. No, you can't. I get scared with them. The stuff that they watch, the movies that they're like, that's not scary. I'm like, that movie is abhorrent, but it's nothing to them.
Yeah. Kids maybe are just desensitized to scary stuff now because of the world we live in.
The world. But even just like the scary movies alone, not even real world stuff. There's so many scary movies and they're so fucking gory and crazy.
Yes.
There's nothing.
Saw. Should we watch Saw?
No.
It's very gory, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard that it's good, though.
I did hear the new one was good, actually.
Maybe bad request. No, that's actually not considered a bad movie, so don't request that one. It's got to be like a bad, bad movie. Which,
yeah, like a widely thought of.
Yeah, widely thought of in that sense. Max, our hero. Max. Yay. California, laid back, tied eyed point of view. As they say, he literally has the wavy hair with the butt cut, which everybody who could do that had it probably in the 90s. He's literally wearing a tie dye shirt with a long sleeve underneath it. Yep. Yeah, the bullies. We'll get to the bullies. Goddamn the bullies.
Oh, I hate those guys.
Yeah, the bullies, we'll get to him. He's basically a conspiracy theorist here. He talks about how Halloween was created by the candy companies to sell more.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, but like, no, like, I get it to sell, like, to do the trick-or-treating and create all that stuff, yeah. But as Allison quickly says, he puts this bitch in his place about how it being All Hallows Eve, and then, yeah, goes into that. And then he gives her number, which, like, okay, ballsy move, bro. Gives
in
her
front of everyone.
Yep. Gives her number, and it's like, oh, never mind. It's a 555 number. It's fake.
What does that mean?
555 is a movie, is a number they always use in movies because it's not real. It's not an actual number.
Oh, so you can't call it?
Yeah. So you put an area code, that's the first three digits in America. So okay. if they were to put, like, mine is 817, if they were to put 817 and then
a random number, yeah,
they can call it. I think the 8675309, that Jenny, I got your number, that 80s song.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Two-Tone, people have that number, and so I think it's like people always call it and be like, no, what it is. So you put 555 in there at any point, it's like, oh, it's fake.
Oh, so that's not a proper area code?
Not at all.
That's the Hollywood area code, yeah, baby.
Exactly. And I think it's the same way if you put like 817555, ah, shit, you just throw it away. It's like, ah, it's a fake number to give somebody when they can find out.
Interesting.
Yeah, he gives her the number and then just like keeps staring. It's like, bro, stop staring.
Back away from the woman, please.
Yeah, you'll have plenty of staring later. But all right, here we go. My boys, Jay and Ernie. Oh, I mean, Ice. Arrive. Ice. They arrive in the screenplay to be the bullies of the picture because they're determined to need bullies. And they're like, oh, that can be us. And Ernie is dressed. This is the blonde. Ernie is dressed peak 93, the long wavy blonde hair. Mm-hmm. He's got the leather jacket. He's got the chains and he's got a flannel tied around. I mean, just chef's kiss 93.
I love it. And I feel like this fashion is coming back around.
It always feels like to me that was always an English thing. Like it was really? Like an alternative rock. Anybody I ever saw still dressed like that over the past 30 years has always been like an English punk scene or some kind of alternative scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Oasis fandom in the UK is still very, very strong. Like you see people in their parkas and the haircuts and everything still. And then the 90s fashion is still very, very on here. And there's an outfit that Max wears later on, bomber jacket, baseball cap. I was like, you could have just been walking down the street today.
Well, I had a different name for him, but...
A different name?
Well, when he's dressed like a rap singer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant I got his name wrong. And I was like, No.
Yeah, you're like, God damn it. Did we watch the fucking movie? No. He says, yeah, I'm a rap singer. I'm like, so a 1993 rap singer just looks like the same as like a pedophile. Of like walking at night in sunglasses and a ball cap. I'm like, yeah, you look like a fucking kid toucher.
You do a little bit now. You've ruined that outfit for me.
I know, even though that's pretty much what I would wear because they had like aviators too. Yeah. So it's like, wait a minute, what am I trying to say? They steal his new cross trainers, which is a term I have not heard since the 90s. Of it, like,
what is cross trainers?
It's like, you just call them trainers now.
Yeah.
And it would be workout shoes. You know, those called tennis shoes, but tennis shoes are actually different. They're not just like sneakers or workout shoes.
Yeah.
There's all different things in there. So cross trainers would be it, of just stuff you go running in, but not like running shoes. They're a cross between running and doing all other things.
They did look brand new, though. I felt a bit bad from here.
Well, you know what, dude? First off, he kind of talks shit to him. And it's like, dude, you're being cornered by two bullies. Stop talking shit.
Yeah, I know. It's like you need to either full send standing up for yourself or back away immediately.
It's hand over the goods or, yeah, throw an elbow and take one on or do something. Because it's like, what do you think these guys are doing? And yeah, Hollywood.
Oh, hey, Hollywood. Yeah, I like them.
All right, so Max goes home in his dirty socks in that sense.
Aww.
And here is the dad played by Charles Rocket. And he ended up dead in a field with his throat slit and it was ruled a suicide. So then we go to this kid's room.
Wait, what?
What?
In the film? Or did I miss that part of the film?
No, okay. I want to see that. No, Charles Rocket is the actor. It's officially a suicide. He was dead in a field with his throat slit.
In real life?
Yes, in real life. Like,
and
in
they
2005,
deemed that a suicide?
They deemed it a suicide. Yeah. It's an interesting rabbit hole to go down.
Oh, no. No, yeah. I'm not doing that tonight.
Yeah, not tonight. Well, it's a bit too late for that. That can be...
I'll not sleep.
That can be another one where you're curled up, it's thundering outside, and it's midnight, mm-hmm. and you want to really be spooky, is read about, yeah, the Charles Rocket story.
Oh, that's
there.
Awful.
I know. Yeah. I think it was Saturday Night Live, I think, back in the 70s. I think it did Weekend Update. And, I think it was something. I don't know. We'll get in. But, yeah, I just wanted to drop that in and move on.
I was like, God, what a Disney Plus cut out of the film this week.
Like, wait, how did I miss this? Disney really went hard back then. No, we get to this kid's fucking room. Oh, my God. This room is bigger than like three of the houses I've ever lived in.
Yeah. And these brats. He's like, I want to go back
Absolute
to LA with
brats.
My friends. And he's like throwing his jumper around the room, throwing his bag down. I'm like, are you joking? You've just moved in. You've got this awesome house. You've got your drum kit here ready to go.
A full drum set.
Nice family.
His room has two stories. He gets upset and goes up the stairs in his room.
In his own bedroom.
Fuck.
What are these houses? They're insane.
Good Lord. Salem must be just bougie as hell. Yeah. All right. So he has the pillow and he's hugging up on Allison. Oh, Allison.
No.
And the sister, Danny, played by Thora Birch, comes in, and she took her top off as a minor in American Beauty. And so then they go trick-or-treating afterwards. What?
Stop dropping these bombshells into the middle of sentences.
She was in the movie American Beauty and had a topless scene, and she was like 17 years old, and they had to have permission. They had to have parents. It's another spooky season. Go read that about that. So American Beauty as a whole, because that was Kevin Spacey.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. American Beauty is if this is the most 93 movie in all that sense, American Beauty is the most 1999 movie.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that one, but she had to have her parents agree to that. And
she
did.
She was like 16 or 17.
And they agreed to. Oh, man.
Hey. I'm not going anywhere with that. So, no. I'm not going to be like, hey,
I have her.
I'm not going to take the side of that.
Oh my God. I just have her written down as being in The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Oh, was she really?
Yeah. It's one of the more recent series, which I actually haven't seen, but she must be a series regular because she's in 9 or 10 episodes. She plays a character called Mary. I think she's part of the Whisperer storyline. So if anybody who listens is more up to date with The Walking Dead than I am, you can let me know what Mary's like.
I feel like I know so much about The Walking Dead just secondhand of you explaining it only on the podcast.
Oh, I love it so much.
There's
I
a new one, Daryl Dixon,
yeah.
The new show came out.
So they ended the main series and now everyone has got their own spin-off series. So there's one with Negan and Maggie. They go to New York.
Whoa.
Sorry. Daryl goes to France of all fucking places. Like, how are you getting to France?
Would he take a ship?
I don't know how he gets there. Good I think God. That's what they do, though. They do these ridiculous things. So I'm like, fuck, I need to watch now and like figure it out. And then they're doing another one next year, which is a big, big deal. So much so that I actually want to catch up with the series before it comes out.
They're just milking that thing to the bone.
They are. But it was so good, Brett. Like the first, if you just watch the first three
Everybody
series.
Says that. Kids
first
at school
three.
Say that. Yeah.
Give me the first three series. It's some of the best television I've ever watched.
Series. Maybe again, someday down the road.
One day.
All right. So Danny kind of guilts Max into taking her trick or treating. As we mentioned before, Max goes as a rap singer. And this will live rent free in my head forever. He's like, I'm a rap singer. And the dad goes, well, then the hat should be sideways. And I'm fucking just died from hearing that.
Yeah. I loved it. It was so. It was out of nowhere. Oh, well, he just didn't even miss a beat with responding like that. The dad just, because you know the teenager is just like, oh, you know, he's so pissed off. I've taken my sister out. Dad's just taking the piss out of him. I love it. I love that moment.
Yeah. Well, the parents are going to a party, and I've got some comments about this party that they go to kind of by the end. So we'll get there. As I go trick-or-treating in this very picturesque, very 1950s fucking thing, because I've said before, every fucking movie in the 90s was made or written typically by boomers who yep. want the 90s to be their 1950s small town. The mm-hmm. bullies take the candy. I literally put down, are there no fucking adults in this town? And then
yeah,
I realized,
what's going on?
They're all at the party. So oh, no, yeah. there are no
all
adults.
All of them are at the party.
There are no cops, which good on them. The only cop we see is a fake cop. So, you know what? Yeah. Good on Salem for not having that. These bullies are running the fucking town, though.
Yeah, they really are. There's just no justice in this world.
Well, they kind of get it. They kind of get eventually, karma, I should yeah. say. Maybe not justice, but karma. Yeah.
But the cop, I got bamboozled because when they approached the cop, I was like, wow, that's really sensible. I was like, yeah, good for them, because that always annoys me in films where there's a big, big fucking tragedy going on and it's like world ending devastating stuff and it's like, contact the police, contact a grown-up, please, children, have some common sense.
That is so British of you.
I know,
to be like go to, hey, go talk to the cops. And I'm like, do you? The American in me is like, do you?
Yeah. But yeah, so when they approached me, I was like, okay, this is sensible, great. And then he's like, I'm not even a real cop.
That got me the first viewing. I should say this. I first watched this maybe only a few years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. I definitely
so
watched
this. It's not a childhood thing.
It
for
is
you.
Not a childhood thing at all. No, I did not watch it at all.
Okay.
They kind of get into an argument. Danny and Max kind of get into an argument. And I said, they fight. And I was like, this poor woman opens the door thinking just trick or treaters and instead is greeted with a domestic disturbance. I'm like yelling off.
Doorstep.
Yes. And she's like, oh, why are these kids screaming at each other? Oh, good. So nice kids are coming after them. Like, get off my porch and quit fighting.
I do love Danny. I think she goes toe to toe with Bette Midler as like the best character in this. She's the main character for me is the little sister. Max is meh.
Yeah, Max is okay. Thor, you can definitely tell from this why or how Thora Birch had a great career, because it's mm-hmm. the same with like Christina Ricci in the Addams Family,
yeah.
where both of them are this precocious kid where mm-hmm. instantly can be annoyed by a precocious kid, but they go right up to the line and their performance yeah. is so good and natural. That young is like, damn, they're good.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because the first child that we see in this film is Emily. Emily gives us nothing, which is fine. You can be scared child being kidnapped. It's fine, but there's nothing and that's fine. But then Danny just gives everything and is funny. And I actually think it's really believable, like when she runs off and cries and, you know, she's upset at her brother. And I just think they have a really great dynamic as well. So That was quite a stark difference there.
Well, I was going to say, which producer is Emily's dad?
that's yeah.
Who got her in there? Because, yeah.
Bless her, we heart.
I know. And we're not doing it. But it's just like, no, yeah, we're not going to be like, oh, this dumb, you know, something like that. But like you said there, to compare that child performance to that, it's like, oh, yeah, one's a talented actor. And you can see why they kind of went on.
Mm-hmm. And she's done really well.
Yeah. I am not toxic.
No. We don't shit talk children.
Yeah, you can tell by my shirt that says I'm not toxic. That answers the question about it. And if it says if I'm wearing the shirt, you can't call me it. It's all good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. So they move on, they make up, and they go on to keep trick-or-treating. They go to this massive mansion, which what the fuck is a mansion if they live in that house? Like to them, is this like goddamn White House?
I know. And she goes, oh, rich people. I'm like, are you joking? Look at your own house.
Well, no, but you should be like rich people on Halloween jackpot, because yeah, they give out the full-size bars.
And
so,
cider.
Yes, they apparently. Just walk. Well, they just walk into this fucking house. What the fuck, people?
Is that a thing?
No.
Open houses on Halloween?
In Texas, you walk into a house, you're probably going to take a 9mm to the chest. So yeah, don't be walking into random houses, but you're in fucking Salem up here. Yeah. So they walk in and Allison comes down like it's a fucking debutante ball or something.
I know.
And,
it's like Bridgerton series three.
And they're looking at this candy. And then Max looks up and takes his hat off like it's goddamn 1940. What century is this taking place in? Or decade?
That was so true. And he whips the hat off. It's like an old gentleman. Yeah.
Yes. It's like he rose when she came in. It's like, what is happening?
That's so funny.
God. We get, okay. Now here we go. They start kind of talking. Max looked like he just saw a woman for the first time ever like that. We get the most outrageous line I think we're ever going to hear in any movie, given the context of a PG-13 movie and a child saying it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I had to Google it because I didn't know what it meant.
Well, you could just, you couldn't context clues figure out what it was. Yes, okay.
I was, yeah, but I thought that. And then I thought, surely not.
You're like, no, they wouldn't do that.
Not in a 90s Disney film.
Yeah. So Danny compliments Allison's dress and says, I can't wear that because I don't have the yabos, which is not a term. It's just not. And if anybody's like, yeah, it's from like 1920s, I'd be like, yeah, I believe that. I've literally never heard that except for here. Max likes your yabos. In fact, he loves them. And I swear to God, my soul left my fucking body.
And the fact that that just gets glossed over, just don't talk about it.
Max instantly is just like, oh, like wide-eyed, like, oh, this darn girl. Instead of like punching her in the face and shutting her up, Allison is just like, oh, that's cute that this guy is commenting to his fucking 8-year-old sister that he thinks about my breasts. What the fuck?
That was the unrealistic brother-sister moment, because if that was real life, she would have got a hand over her entire face.
That's what I'm saying. It would have been pushed or just a jab to be like, just, I'm going to do whatever the quickest way is possible for you to shut the fuck up. So I had to fucking slam my spacebar to pause the movie, and I had to just get up
and have a moment.
I had to get up and just be like, what? So maybe it's not all good that things aren't like this. This is
this is something that they improved upon.
This stuff can stay in 1993. But we do get virgin reference number 2.
Sorry, my note says, what are yabos?
What are, and a quick Google search answered that in there. So we get to virgin reference number 2. They decide to go visit the Sanderson house, the Sanderson sisters' house. Mm-hmm. They apparently have nothing better to do, which is fine. And they light... They light the candle.
Yes, he lights it, even though the two girls beg him not to.
Not to do it. And for some reason, I don't know why, I have lighting the black flame candle. And then I have in all caps, stupid cat. Did the cat scare him? Why did I put that? I love this cat. Yeah,
so it looked as like the cat... I couldn't figure out if the cat was trying to stop him from doing it. I think initially he was trying to stop him from doing it. He kept jumping onto his shoulders and like scaring him. Why did you call it?
Why would I write say stupid cat? I'm team cat. I'm always team cat.
I don't know.
Maybe I was still just in a fucking daze from the yabos line that I wasn't thinking straight. I was not doing it. But
he shouts that. He shouts stupid cat really loudly.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yes, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what I was mated. Yeah, stupid cat. Once he does it, once they do it. But we get quickly after that virgin reference number 3 as the sisters arrive.
They do. They're back from the dead. They just walk right in the front door.
They do. I'll never just get to that. Sisters.
Yeah,
just
it's great.
It over and over. So good. So good. I put this in Discord. There's 2 boxes of candy on the shelf here. Okay.
Oh, okay. I was looking out for this and I didn't see it.
Good God. I did not notice this the first time. I noticed the lemon heads because hell yeah. Lemon heads is a fucking awesome candy.
I don't think I have those.
It's probably called a different name. It's just a different name. It's just lemon sour, lemon sweet, right, like that. There's a candy here I've never heard of. It is called, it's not around anymore, Cherry Clan Candy. Oh. And this artwork is one step away from a World War II propaganda poster.
Oh my God.
Because it's Asian faces.
Right.
Straw hats. You can imagine the eyes.
Yeah.
And you can imagine the mouth. And I'm like, this, again, would have been offensive by 1944 terms.
Is this a real life thing?
It was, but they changed it. I can't remember what it's called. It's called something else. The candy changed the name. And then they had another one where it was like this ominous looking Asian man. And it's just like, holy shit. But yeah, this, I could not believe the candy on the screen. I had to slam the keyboard again and be like, oh, what is this?
I need to go back and rewatch those bits, because when you posted that in the Discord, I was looking out for it, but I didn't notice it. I must have missed that part.
Yeah, just like, wait, what is this? Yeah, Cherry Clan, the Cherry Clan candy. Cherry Clan candy.
Sounds so bad.
I'm just looking at what it is. Yeah, I'm looking at it again right now. It's got like a, I think it's a pagoda. the thing in there. God. Oof. I'm just like, oh, okay. Yeah, we have that in there. Winnie pulls an Emperor Palpatine and fucking lightning bolts his ass.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah,
she doesn't use those powers a lot for the rest of the film either.
Yeah, no kidding. Where do they come from? But a little tease on there. Make sure y'all stick around to the end for the D&D classifications.
Oh, I liked these ones.
Yeah, we'll have them. There's magic in this, so it makes it a little bit easier when a movie has magic. Does, yeah. Just a little bit. Hilarious fucking line, a hilarious throwaway line that maybe nobody else even cared for. He goes to light the sprinklers with his Zippo, his lighter. And I think it's Mary, very under her breath, like, he makes fire in his hand. And just that delivery was so funny because it wasn't like, oh, he's got fire in his hand. It was like, he makes fire in his hand. And just like, okay, what a delivery. I was dying at that.
I did think her and Sarah did quite a few of those, and none of them have come to mind now, but Sarah especially would just be whispering in the background. Like, yes. Yeah. And it's like, she's actually figured it out. And Winifred is trying to figure something out by going through the book and stuff, and Sarah's just got it, but she isn't even like she's engaged like, enough.
Not
to,
even
going to
listen.
To
not even
her,
listening
yeah.
to. No, it's like she cannot possibly be right in anything.
Yeah.
So he lights the sprinklers and it scares them away and they take off. And what? A talking cat? The cat talks.
The cat talks. Yeah. Which I didn't understand.
Why?
Because.
Like why it starts talking now?
Yeah. So like why?
Is it because he lit it? Because he's a black cat virgin?
Maybe he only talks
to virgins.
Maybe, yeah. But they said that he obviously got turned into a cat 300 years ago. And the whole thing was, and his family never knew what happened to him. I'm like, why didn't you just tell him?
I'm going to say he can only talk to virgins.
I think that's it. That's the lore.
Or only talk to people who light the black cat candle.
Maybe.
I think so. Yeah. The sisters escape, and funny as shit here, the fire engine scares them, and rightfully so, because everything 1993 should scare these bitches.
Yes.
And later on, they start to say some things and get acquiesced. I'm like, how do they know that? Why are they doing that? How do they know they can do that? And it's just, I guess they let go of it real quick.
Yes, there was one thing that she said, and I was like, oh, you're not from 1693.
When they're singing the song, they instantly go to the microphones and they know exactly how to talk into it and go to from. When they're driving the car at the end. Yes, when they're driving the car at the end and they're chasing on the broom, she's like, do you have your license and registration? I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
That was the one that jumped out at me.
Yes,
I was
how
like,
the fuck
what?
Does she know about license and registration? And
how
tells them like
know
to,
how the cops talk? It's ridiculous.
To pull over, I was like, no, movie's done. That knocked it down a tier list. That knocked it down a tier list for me. No, it didn't.
Did it? That's
no,
funny.
It didn't.
Yeah, because initially those differences were really funny where they were scared of the lighter and scared of the road. Even they didn't understand the road. And
then
by the end of it, they're like, fuck it.
Maybe that was rewrites by a different screenwriter, by that second guy.
Maybe.
Disney was just like, just make this fucking movie already.
Just finish it.
I did see this movie was released in like fucking July. No wonder it only made $48 million.
That's so weird.
There was something else that...
It's all about Halloween night.
That Renfield movie, the Nicolas Cage movie about like Dracula.
Mm.
That was like a fucking February release or a spring release. It's like, why are you not releasing this in September, October?
Just lean into what we know.
Like, that's the stuff that I'm like, they're torpedoing the movie. Like, they want it to fail to get like a tax write-off. It's like a producer's thing.
Oh.
All right. So we get the juxtaposition of the story here, or I guess the main plot of why the motive. There you go. Jesus, I was reaching for that one. That the sisters will be dead by sunrise unless they find the book, brew a portion, and suck the souls from children. Not just them, but just any children in general.
Yeah. These witches walked so Dementors could run. Like,
Dementors.
It's the same, like, I didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
it's
a little
creepy.
Yeah, but again, it's probably like the fourth creepiest thing in this movie.
Yeah, I would have been scared of this when I was younger, I think.
Interesting. I think, which is also because I don't think I would have been, because that was just normal back then, you know?
Maybe,
like
yeah,
now,
yeah.
There's like putting a kid in peril, in danger, is not done anymore. Like, I just, if someone has an idea of a main release movie where kids are in actual mortal or peril danger, or like in this, they fucking
specifically,
die.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Please let me know, because I don't fucking think that's a thing anymore. Like, they just, like, Disney in anything won't put kids in danger. And that was such a thing from those 80s and 90s movies, like those kid power movies, mm-hmm. was, oh, they want to be adults, we're going to treat them like adults. They might fucking die.
Yeah, there was even one bit where I think it's Winnie's about to get on the bus and she's like, we need to find children. And I'm like, ugh, that's weird. Like, well, it just wouldn't fly anymore, would it?
At least it's a woman saying it. If it was like a guy, it'd be like,
if it was a man, it would be so weird.
Eek, eek, eek. Yeah. Virgin reference number 4 comes up right here.
Oh, nice.
So they're just coming quick as they go on here. The group, the kids, for some reason, take a portal to the fucking Parisian catacombs and walk under here. Where the fuck is this in a goddamn like 17th century town?
In their cemetery, they've got this whole underground section.
This grotto and this groff, this croft, and it's just like, what is this? This is not existing. Where did they go?
I loved it. I loved it. And the zombie mansion.
Yes, I didn't. I never had him in my notes. That's the great Doug Jones. Billy is his name. Mm-hmm. I literally totally forgot until the end when he comes. I'm like, oh yeah, fucking Billy's in this movie.
Yeah, because he follows them around the cemetery parts because the witches can't go in there or something.
Hallowed ground. They can't go on hallowed ground.
They can't go in there, so the zombie chases them around instead. But yeah, when he unzips his mouth, that's when he comes into his own.
Yes, and that is also, those were actual live moths that came out of his mouth.
I read something that said, no, it wasn't.
No, I read a thing of Doug Jones saying that it was, that they made a little pocket and they put him in with tweezers and sewed it. And then very quickly they would cut it and let him out. But they said it had a block so it wouldn't go down his throat.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Hey, that's why Doug Jones is number one. He's number one. Yep. And for some reason, a fucking Brooklyn bus driver shows up here in Salem. What is happening in the movie? The movie is off the rails. This fucking Italian meatball comes in to start talking about fucking ragu and hitting on this girl. What? This is Salem, Massachusetts. Yeah. What? Did he miss the fucking 95th Avenue or 95th Street and take the wrong turn up the fucking East Coast?
It was so out of nowhere, wasn't it? And he just starts hitting on all three of them. He's like, come on, ladies, get on my bus. Da, da, da. And I was like, this is really uncomfortable, the way he's speaking to them. And they're just lapping it up.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, they haven't.
They love it. It's been 300 years.
It's been a long time. Yeah. I guess I should have said that he took a wrong turn from a Scorsese movie and ended up here. But yes, it's where, I don't know if it's a Hollywood thing or what, but it's just like, oh, a bus driver, he's got to fucking talk like this. It's like, Yeah. So. The crew keeps rolling on, or the kids keep rolling on. This is where Max talks to the fake cop. And this is where, again, like the movie is just, it's just losing me. And not losing me, but it's just making me turn to like elbow rub nobody in particular. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Talks to this cop. They're like, yeah, he's a virgin. The cop pulls him aside and is the fake cop.
Virgin.
He's like, are you a virgin? He's like, yeah. Really? He's like, I'll get it tattooed on my fucking face. And just like, what is going on? Why are these people so incredulous that this fucking 15, 16-year-old kid is a virgin? This grown man is like, you fucking loser. You're a virgin? Like, I was banging 8 broads by then. What is... this movie is insane.
It really is. And it's like, they're coming up to them saying, we've got this potentially, you know, mass... homicide of children about to happen, and all you care about is that I'm a virgin.
Everybody's just like, is he a fucking virgin? Dude, but I also like that, but I also like that that gets brought up to like, oh my god, there's witches on the prowl, everybody's in danger, this kid's a virgin over here. Whoa. The kid's a fucking virgin.
Why do they keep bringing it up?
Disney screenwriter, what did you go through when you were fucking like 15 years old? This dude must not have been able to get laid, or someone rejected him. And he was like supposed to lose his virginity on some night when he was 15 or 16, and he's never fucking let go of it.
And he's never going to let us forget it either.
Not now, because we're doing Hocus Pocus. The sisters are going through very funny here. I did always like when it's Halloween and people who are actually like a zombie, or they're actually like a witch, then blend in perfectly. I always love that.
And nobody's scared of them. So nobody's scared of them. Like, why is nobody scared of me?
The Sanderson sisters. Oh, that's dead on. Y'all are perfect in there.
And then they just laugh when they do their scary moves, and everyone's like,
yeah, they're just like, so gonna get them. They don't lightning bolt. That might not have been as funny if they did that.
No.
But they meet the devil and his wife, played by Gary Marshall and his real life sister, Penny Marshall, both notable directors. Yeah.
Gary Marshall
directed. I know he did all those New Year's Eve movies and Mother's Days and all those. I think Penny Marshall might have done Awakenings. Penny Marshall did one of the absolute best, one of my favorite movies of all time, A League of Their Own, about the women's baseball team during World War II when all the guys went to go fight the war. An excellent movie. I absolutely love that movie. And they're both dead. They both died a few years back. Yeah, they were old, though. Well, I shouldn't preface it with that. They're dead. Oh, but they're really old. Oh, okay. That's all right.
They made it. They made it to an old age, which is a blessing.
Yeah, they made it. So they're nice little cameos in here. And outside, these punk ass little girls steal their fucking brooms.
Them. And they're dressed as the witches as well. It's amazing.
They're just stealing shit. What, this town is out of control. There are no parents.
And we don't see them again, I don't think.
Not at all.
The broom's gone. I love the sound effect. They walk off the screen and you can hear the brooms make the flying noise.
No.
Yeah,
oh, I missed it. Those kids are fucking dead then. They're dead.
Disney did not hold back.
They left out the sound of their corpse landing on the ground from 50-foot freefall.
Four dead children in this film.
I did love the last little girl that was lagging behind her. She's like, oh, I get one too. And just it's too big for her.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's fucking dead and she's a thief. So very, very 1990s where, oh, you're going to steal something very small, but you're going to fucking die for it. Oh, you steal a magazine? Go get hit by a bus, you fucking thief. We're still
in crime doesn't pay.
Yeah. In there. Yeah. We still got the tinge of Reagan in here. You're fucking dead. Yeah. All right. So now we get to the adult party time.
Oh my God. What the fuck is this?
I got an answer for what I think it is at the end that I'll hold on to it. But yeah. How about that mom's Madonna outfit? Jesus.
Yeah. She has to explain it to her daughter, the cones.
But the cones are those are so exaggerated, even for a Madonna thing. They weren't just there. I kept just looking, being those are fucking, why are those that fucking big?
Mm-hmm. They're more like Katy Perry. Remember when Katy Perry did the cone tits and had cream coming out of them?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh my God. In her videos, and she's spinning them around.
No, I don't remember that. But were they that egregiously big?
I don't think so.
These were literally going to put her fucking eye out if she would have gotten any closer.
The poor child.
Yeah. Just
that's how Donnie's going to go.
She's like, who are you, Madonna? And she's just like, oh, yeah. In 1993, Madonna was still such a cultural touchstone that everybody would have gotten that reference.
Yeah. Yeah. I was impressed by how everybody at this party really went all out with their fancy dress.
That's what I love about a Hollywood too. And nobody's dressed the same. They always make sure. There was one World War II soldier in there. I'm just like, I wonder if he wanted to be that, or if he just drew the short end of just having the green and the little camo with the little army hat. And it's like, oh, that's kind of, that's in there.
Yeah.
Yes. But this is, I put a spell on you and now you're my, oh man, it's such a good song. It's so good.
It is a good one.
What a jam. And I have on here, I like how Sarah and Mary just naturally go to the mics. They just get in there and they do the backup and everybody knows it. And I know they're actually putting, a spell on them. But very, very funny turnabout also where it's Max goes up there and takes it, stops the show. And they're like, they're witches. Everyone's like, oh, ha, ha, they're right there. And then the guy's like, oh, man, what a good show. Good job, kid. I get the fuck off the stage. Kicks him off. Basically
how
throws him off.
How frustrating would that be for Max? Where he's like, no, they're putting a spell stop. And everyone's amazing.
Yeah,
this is incredible.
Like, oh, it's
great surprise. Yeah. I love it. It's so
but
funny.
The spell has them dancing.
All night.
Dancing, as I put my finger quotes in there, as we'll get to the end. They go on the alley and they kind of overhear. We get this cliche where Allison accidentally knocks open the oven door and is like, I got a plan.
Yeah, I was like, what? I thought she was going to put the book in the oven. I was like, whoa.
At first I thought she was going to jump in there and just hide.
Well, yeah, initially I was like, you can't fit in there. Yeah. Are they going to put the girl, they're going to put Danny in there? Would Danny fit? They're going to put the book in there? I didn't know where that was going, but.
That'd be like the always send anything, you dumb bitch, can't fit in there. So they go to the school, they go to this high school, and we get a nice, hip, and fresh, up-to-date reference of Maxine, Boris Karloff.
What's that?
Boris Karloff, let me put it this way. He was born in the 19th century, an actor.
Oof.
Yeah. He was like the Frankenstein's monster in The Frankenstein from like 1930 or 32 or whatever.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He was in all those monster movies. It is a 60-year-old reference at this time. So that Boris Karloff reference was definitely not for the kids. That was for the fucking yes. grandparents that were dragged. Like, I remember Frankenstein.
How did this 15-year-old kid know this reference?
Yeah. It's just Boris Karloff Jr. I'm just like, oh my God. Okay.
That maybe we should totally do that. Over my head.
We should
what,
do
Frankenstein.
Well, we did Van Helsing.
That was a lot of fun.
That was Van
Talking
Helsing.
About films that are all over the place.
Yeah, that was all over the place in, say, more of a bad way. This was more of a good way.
Yeah, I did enjoy this a lot.
This was all over the place, but it felt like it was in a purposeful. Like I generally think they meant to do that to either be skeevy, weird, or funny. Van Helsing was just shit.
Just random shit, yeah.
Just yeah, it was bad. But they trick the crew, not the girls, the children. Fuck me. There you go. Trick the Sandersons into this kiln, like a pottery kiln.
Yeah.
Which this old ass school has a kiln, which there's all gone, I'm sure. I think we had one in ours too. But yeah.
I had one in my secondary school, I remember.
You did? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only a small one though, not like one that you could three people like could walk into.
Like a fucking sauna? No.
Yes,
yeah, that
Jesus
wasn't it.
Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, and then woohoo, yay, all's well that ends well. GG Binks. They
I was just like, wait, there's 30 minutes left of the film. They're dead. I was like, what's happened here?
I remember when I first watched it, I didn't know. And I thought, like, oh, that was kind of a weird ending.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the time, I was like, oh, there's like 40 fucking minutes left.
Yeah, I got bamboozled again for the second
time.
Like
the Ring.
This
was like the Ring. The Ring kind of had a little fake ending.
Really? Kinda, I don't remember that.
God damn, that's a good movie. That's, ooh.
No.
That's a good one for spooky. It's not that spooky. It's not scary like that. It's like psychological.
No, that's worse. I won't be able to sleep at night.
Damn. Okay, well, maybe we'll do something. Maybe on Brett request month for spooky season, I may
that
get
can
it.
Be, that can be your birthday month.
There you go. That'll be the one in there. Oh, I've got other ones I'm going to make you watch before then. Oh, God, do I have some ones to make you watch. Yeah, they go back to the house. And like you said, they curl up. Binks and Danny curl up. And then Max and Allison bang. Right?
They do a Disney bang where she just rests her head on his chest.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, but the kitty curled up with the kitty and they fall asleep.
That was the
like,
moment
aw.
Where I teared up a little bit. Because, yeah. I mean, I think we forgot to discuss
I
where
totally
the cat got flattened.
Why the fuck is that not in my notes?
Yeah, I have in my notes, capital letters, the flattened cat, I gasped.
I am so...
This is the third bamboozle of the film, actually. Because they try it, because... Literally like 5 minutes before, the cat says, I'm immortal. You know, I've been living for 300 years.
Yes.
And then we see the cat get flattened by the bus, made only worse by seeing Sarah sat in the lap of that ridiculously
Donk.
Horrible yeah, bus yeah. driver. And they do a boom and they're like, oh, boom. And I was like,
this, okay. I think
I see it with a wheel mark through it. I was about to close the whole film down and be like, cancel the podcast. I'm not watching this film anymore.
Oh, man. That would have been a good watch along. Oh,
yeah,
that
would have
been a good watch along to do that. Yeah, I think I wrote it down because I just was more upset by it. They show the ran over cat.
Mm-hmm.
They show the bump in there.
Yeah.
And then they show the cat like inflate.
Yes.
Like,
they show
weird.
You the kid's reaction. They're like, oh, no.
Dude,
and
oh
he's like, it's my fault. And then you see the cat like reanimate, blow, you know, the whole dent in it just, you're right, inflates back up. And he's like, I told you, I'm immortal.
Then why did you stop? Why were you dead? If not to scare the audience. Fuck you, director.
Yeah.
Screenplay.
I hated that moment.
But
I don't want to see cats like that ever.
But it's not going to be the last cat violence. And I think the person who did this hated cats, too.
Oh,
With the end, when he gets thrown, he gets thrown against the tombstone in like Ragdolls. I'm like, what the fuck movie? Stop. There's, and then they show him dead again.
It's like birth there. I can't. There was another, I don't remember what film this is, and I'm glad because it sticks in my memory so good. And if I describe it, someone might remember what it is. But in the film, it's a horror film, and I was made to watch it when I was young. And this is why I don't like horror films at all. My friends would have liked them when I was younger. And anyway, there's a part of the horror film where the person gets their head wrapped up in cling film. Do Americans say cling film?
Yeah, like saran wrap. Yeah, cling wrap.
But it's like, you know, it's like see-through but plasticky. Mm-hmm. Someone gets their head wrapped up in that. That's one thing that happens in this film, which has literally given me a fear of cling film.
What movie is this?
I don't know. But okay. The second thing, the reason why I'm talking about it, the second thing that happens in the film, it might not even be the same film, but I associate them together, is a black cat gets killed. And the cat gets like thrown up against the front door and killed, like smashed like this by the killer. And I was so traumatized. This is when I had my Salem cat as well. I was so traumatized by seeing that. I was like, any black cat violence, I'm not on board.
Was that...
I won't know what it is.
Okay, quick Google movie called with Florence Pugh called Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, that's not old.
Okay.
Yeah, I've watched that film. That does happen in that film as well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But this film, I'm talking about when I was probably like 10, 11 years old. Maybe a bit older.
Was it Red State?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think I would even remember if you, because I've blocked it out.
Oh, the movie that I think about the cat, I don't remember. Like John Wick has the puppy scene. I remember that. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Oh no.
But then also, I didn't really like, I feel bad saying this, I didn't really enjoy John Wick that much.
Why are you just, now you're trying to get people, now you're trying,
I'm trying to
get,
canceled.
No comment is any good comment. You're just trying to drive up like comments now to be like,
clip it, ship it, YouTube.
There you go. Just put it in there. What? A million people just disturbance in there. Okay. All right. Well, that's enough animal abuse talk that we'll get in
there. Yeah, I don't want it. I don't want to see black cats harmed.
No, ever. We'll get in there. Jay and Ernie, Jay and Ernie, the bullies, are going around. Jay wants to be a peeping Tom at 3 a.m. because he wants to go look through the window at girls undressing.
Yeah, he says, why don't we go watch babes undress?
And it's like, oh,
excuse
movie
me?
Again, like this movie's fucking unhinged at this point. And then the other guy, or I should say Ernie, is rightfully so. No, he's not. He's just like, hey, they're all asleep. They would have undressed by now. It's like, okay. They can't stop
this
bullying.
Reason.
But I do love, he says, how come it's always the ugly chicks that stay out late, which, whoop, record scratch, the Sanderson sisters
are
there.
No.
I do think it's hilarious that Winnie takes umbrage at the chicks part, not the ugly. Because she's like,
chicks,
not ugly, and takes them back. But then she does get upset later about being called ugly by Danny.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure of that. I'm like, why has she got this weird thing against the word chicks?
You know,
has she even
is?
Ever heard the word chicks?
I don't. You're right. There's no way chick. Oh, okay. Good point right there. I was going to say, this is a girl power moment. She don't care what these dudes think, but she does care about what Danny thinks. Girl power.
Oh.
Yeah. Slay queen.
Slay. Yeah. And I thought this film was going to be take a turn at the beginning because Danny was dressed as a witch when she first sees them. You know, she had her Halloween outfit on. I thought she was going to...
Take her under? Oh, that's going to be a clever thing.
I thought that's
thing.
What they were going to do because Danny stands up to them and she's...
Play it off, yeah.
Yeah, she does. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. They're going to think she's a little mini witch, but they just disregarded her whole outfit.
That is it. No kidding. I guess they could smell through it. But it does come to the question of the show. Are the Sanderson sisters girl bosses?
No, I don't think it's girl boss to kill children.
It's not?
No, I would say...
Do they gaslight any?
They do...
A gatekeep?
They gatekeep
witches because they don't let Danny in, right?
Exactly. And their potion is for like forever youth, right? Eternal youth. Mm-hmm. That's very gatekeep. Like you could sell that and you would make a lot of money.
Interesting. Yeah. Any gaslighting in there? But I guess not really. Girl boss. I'll never
I
let go.
I would say they're like mini girl bossing.
Okay. I'll never let go of like just the girl boss thing. I just find it so fucking funny.
Do you know who is a girl boss?
Who?
Jennifer Check from Jennifer's Body. She eats boys. So that is mega girl boss energy.
What was the thing? Boys don't count, or it's like it's boys don't matter. Oh, it's like she you're killing. Like, she's like, yeah, it's boys.
No, she goes, you're killing people. She goes, no, I'm killing
boys. He's killing boys, yeah. Very good. Hennifer's body. Last week, go back. All right, so they take the bullies to, like, torture them to death or leave them. I was like, I don't remember, but they do show up at the end. They're still caged in the end credits. Yeah, they're about to die, but these dumbass kids, oh, I should say the bullies are about to die, but these dumbass kids open the book, like, fucking Max and them can't just stop fucking up. So they open this Book of the Dead or whatever it was, and this is where they go to find him on a broom, a mop, and a Hoover power vac.
Amazing. I didn't realize they could just fly anything.
And Mary starts flying with the Hoover vac in front of her, and then she flips it like under, so it's like, I don't think they even need them to fly.
They just need some kind of stability, maybe.
I think they just need to, like, hold on to it, and they can just away and just go through there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we get the Come Little Children song. Again, that's going to be stuck in my head. Sarah Jessica Parker singing this. Come Little Children, I'll take thee away. And Ruh-roh, we kind of have a little Pied Piper situation here as the children start leaving town.
All of them. And none of their parents are around to stop
them. They're all hypnotized. Every single fucking parent. Apparently, there's no cops on patrol either, in that sense. The firefighters in there. Where are they? It's like, where the fuck are the parental guidance in this town? No wonder you have witches coming back and doing this.
I know. No wonder that all the children are going to die now. It's your fault.
Oh, well.
They don't even have the potions. I don't know why she's Pied Pipering all the children over to the house. They only have enough potion for one child, she says.
Oh, that's right, because... No, that's later. That comes up here. I don't know.
We'll get there.
Yeah. No, I'm saying the kids in mortal danger. And again, Disney would never do this as they do that. Fucking Disney. I do like that Max tricks them into daylight savings and they put the lights on. And I fucking love the dramatic. These bitches are so over dramatic. It's like, brilliant. No. They like pass out and like, wait a minute. He tricked us. It's like, you were never melting. What are you doing?
Exactly. And it's the same whenever they think the reign of death.
The reign of death.
It's brilliant. Yeah. But that is what prompted me to message you earlier asking. Oh, no, maybe it wasn't. But daylight savings.
Yes.
Remember I messaged you earlier because we get one or two weeks a year where there's only 5 hours between us instead of 6 hours. And it's because the UK puts their clocks forward or back a week before the US for whatever fucking reason.
I swear ours used to be before Halloween. I really need to check that up. I swear it was, but now ours is like November 5th, the week, the Sunday. I bet it's the first Sunday in November.
Yeah, ours is always the last Sunday in October.
October, there you go. Yeah. That's so weird. But yeah, there's a week in the spring and there's a week now where it's only 5 hours. Ooh. And it feels like when we record, it's like, oh, this is so different.
Yeah, it is so different. Usually it means we usually stick to my recording time, right? Oh, no, because last year I remember... You came into my stream like, hey, ready to record? And I was like, no, we're not recording for another hour.
I was like, what the fuck? Oh, daylight savings.
We forgot about that. Yeah, all but right. that's what kind of hit me when he said daylight savings. I was like, eh? I don't understand.
Ben what are Franklin?
You talking about? So now you can make the sunrise? And then, bamboozled again. The
got
car.
Bamboozled.
Of it all is amazing, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Danny was taken hostage earlier because they kind of stole her. She kind of spills this potion. Fucking cold-blooded, leave the bullies hanging there. He takes his shoes back.
I thought he was going to have like a Harry Potter Malfoy moment where it's like, we've been enemies for 8 movies. Will you save me? And Harry's like, yes, I will save you, Malfoy, because I'm the better person.
Yeah.
I thought that he was going to have a moment where he'll let the bullies out. Maybe they'll become friends or whatever. They'll respect him now. He takes the shoes back off the bully's
feet.
And leaves him in the birdcage. And I thought, good for you.
Yeah. And even Malfoy had that moment when he was changed. His appearance was changed. It was like a bee sting. And they were like, is this him? He's like, I can't tell. But he could tell.
He could tell, he definitely. Could tell. And then the mom, Malfoy's mom, does the same thing as well.
I know the mama. This is where we get a great line from Bette Midler because Danny called her ugly, and Winnie said, she hurt my feelings. She don't even know me.
Oh,
and just crying, like, she don't even know me. It's like, oh, she cares so much what this little girl says.
Well, the children thing.
The children, yes. Then she's like, I'm gonna eat that. I can't wait to eat that kid.
For eternal beauty.
Yeah, this is pull. This is where they chase him on the brooms. Pull him over. Let me see your driver's permit again. What the fuck? How? No.
Okay, yeah, that moment that for me was when I checked out and said, "No, you guys aren't from 1693. Yes. You're lying."
She says, "Resisting arrest." She's like, "Pull over, movie. You're fucking drunk."
I love it so much. It's so stupid.
So stupid. Billy's mouth sewn shut here. When he cuts it, I'm like, oh God. Ooh. And again, we talked about that with the moths. All right, here we go. You know, if you listen to our Twilight episode, whenever baseball comes on the screen, mainly because baseball season, Texas Rangers, hometown team in the World Series. By the time this comes out game one of the World Series. This gets released in two days.
So game one's on Friday?
Game one is on Friday. So when baseball comes around Twilight, I'm obsessed with it. Obsessed with Twilight baseball. We see Max here. He swings the bat, okay? He's swinging the bat, but I can't see his hands. I can only see like the upper body. I'm like, you know what? That's kind of good for an actor doing that. That's not too bad of a natural swing. Oh my God. The next scene shows the way he's holding it and I fucking died.
Really? Is it bad?
It's terrible. When you hold a baseball bat, you want your hands together, like on top of each other. Yes. And you want it towards the bottom of the bat. You can choke up a little bit for control, maybe like an inch, maybe 2 inches to get it. You don't want to hold it like a fucking hockey stick, where one is in the middle and the other is like 6 inches above it.
Hockey's like spread, right?
Hockey's a little spread because it's more for like the slap shot in there. But baseball, you want them together. And then I saw him doing this and I'm just like, did nobody on this fucking set ever play fucking baseball or see somebody hold a baseball bat? And
he's
correct
not doing
this kid.
Any of the Jasper flurries, is he?
No, he is not doing flurries. Like in the movie, the way they're swinging, it actually looks like they were taught a little baseball camp.
Yes. I mean, especially Robert Pattinson would have needed to.
Yeah, I would think, like they said, all of them, I think. I don't think anybody had ever played before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
This was not good. And I'm just like, no, come on. There's got to be some movie where someone swings a bat like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that went right over my head. I just saw baseball and thought, oh, Brett will like that.
Yeah, it's just like, yay! Because again, if I was ever, you know, beating down witches or zombies, give me the bat.
Yeah, I think I might get a baseball bat. That's going to be my weapon of choice in my house, since we aren't like guns here.
Yeah, get a bat, put some nails in it.
You get a cricket bat, though, shouldn't I?
Cricket bats, aren't they? They look super heavy and...
They can be heavy, but they're flat.
They look unwieldy, though. Like, it doesn't look like a baseball bat. Like, you can just...
You wouldn't get a good swing on a cricket bat. It's more... Because, you know, cricket's more just like that.
Yeah. Not cricket like World Cup's going on.
Is it? Wow.
England... Last I saw, England's in last place.
Oh, fuck. Well.
Well, they won it last time. So,
Was that the last one? I wasn't sure how often it goes.
Me neither. I just know they're in last place.
Is it 4 years or is it every year?
Sure. We'll say that. No one watches fucking cricket anyway. They can't correct
us. No, I do remember watching the final.
Really?
But it's only because I was out at a bar and it was on. Okay. I didn't like go out to watch it.
The crickets. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Max drinks this Witcher concoction.
Yeah. Witcher potion.
It looks like a Witcher potion. So when he goes after him instead of Danny, as he starts to turn into this Casper type ghost. Is that they have this kind of, you know, fight that goes in. She turns into a statue and then all the sisters blow up.
Yeah, why did she turn into a statue?
And then she blew up.
Yeah, because the other two sisters just went blew up. Like laser show first, then they blew up. She went statue, laser show, blow up.
Yeah, I thought I maybe had drank some like liquid Molly or something like that. And I was like, oh, no, that's actually here. So, yeah, so they're gone. Now is all well that ends well. But we talked about it early. Where's Binks? Well, Binks is fucking dead. Movie, what the fuck? Showing a dead cat again. Yep. And then, I swear to God, the weak meow. They give him a fucking death rattle. You don't need to show the cat ragdoll. We don't need to hear the death rattle meow as this cat fucking dies. Holy shit.
I hated it because I think the cat runs up and saves Danny, doesn't he?
Yes, goes
because she's about to be fed the potion, and she whacks him off, and then
whacks him
off the broom. What does it mean?
Does that not mean?
No, it doesn't mean that here.
It doesn't. Okay,
him off.
Well, it does here, and I just went from oh wait, what? Oh my God. Okay, throws him off the broom is what I have down.
I should do this. Flings this him
off.
Off.
There you go. It, yeah, we need to get like, no, because it's still going to be like, he what? Yeah, okay, well, that
that's just... not what I meant. He's a cat.
I know, but I'm a child at heart. And
okay, well, let me rephrase it. She hit him and he flew away off the broom.
Okay, that's good.
That's what I meant.
Yes, and then he ragged. Anyway, yeah, we've hated it. Absolutely fucking hated it.
Don't want to see that again.
No, but as they're mourning, Thackeray's ghost comes. So I guess I did think he was dead last night when I watched it. Thackeray's ghost come. Okay, that could be... Okay, Jesus. Okay, we're done. We need to end. God damn it.
You said one earlier as well, which I didn't point out because I didn't want to throw you off.
Okay, well, okay, you got to. Okay, we're done.
I'm not repeating it because
I'm just gonna wrap it up now. Thackeray's ghost arrives. Tell Danny he'll always be with her. Kisses on the cheek. Okay, perv. We get final virgin reference number 6. Credit scene here. The parents definitely had an orgy. It was 100% an orgy, as they said. We don't have this much fun back in California. I'm like, boom, that was a sex party. And the bullies sing "Row, row, row your boat." And let's just get out of here as we've just completely, we couldn't get on the tracks when we started the podcast. And now at the end, we've just launched into the ditch.
But that's what this film was like as well. In the best possible way. That's what it is. You're right. In the best possible way.
I blame the film for making us have these fucking thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's all I have to say on that.
That is fucking hocus pocus. All right. Now we're going to get the D&D classes. Then we're going to tier list it. Yeah. And then we'll tease. All right. So the D&D class, what we do is we take all the main characters and we put them in the D&D 5E. We just go to D&D Beyond and have the main ones there. And we put them into a class. The first one up is Max. And we're always going to have a bard because bards are fun. But he plays the drums.
He did.
And
he did.
He's the one. He has the magic of the Zippo and the lighter. So he kind of does that. He kind of rallies. He's kind of a leader. You know, he kind of rallies.
Yes.
Troops a little inspiration there. So yeah, Max is a bard.
I felt that too. He definitely, the little, the sister, the girlfriend, and the, you know, the three main amigos, he rallies them and gets them, you know, on the journey. I keep thinking of fucking innuendo as well.
No. All right. Well, can you lead us into Allison? What was Allison? All right. Well, Lucy can gets her composure back.
I can say it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Allison. Give me 2 seconds.
Good God.
So, Allison we have down as a rogue because she used some sort of stealth and trickery. The main trick-or-treat moment was at the beginning where he gives her the phone number and she gives it back to him saying, trick-or-treat. And you think she's going to give the number back or something and she's just giving it back to him. I loved that moment for her. That was a girl boss move from her.
Yes,
definitely.
That was a girl boss move. Good time rogue, uno reverse right there back on him. Next up, we have Danny, and Danny I have down as a ranger, because I know at one point when I was playing as a ranger, animal companion is where it's at.
Yeah.
She's got Binks as the animal companion. She also has the courage, I would say, of a ranger. She's kind of, you know, small, sneaky. She can scout and do all that. So dead on there, Danny Ranger.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Winnie. What is Winnie?
Winnie is going to be our wizard, the scholarly magic user capable of manipulating the structures of reality.
Like
we had her down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's the main one of the witches that is going to be using the book quite a lot. That's why we went scholarly wizard. It just made sense.
And so next is Sarah. We have as a warlock, wielder of magic that is derived from a bargain. From a bargain with another entity. Kind of talks about, you know, it's like a little bit of, I know we'll hit the bloodline on the other one, but it seems like that's what it is. They're kind of doing magic and kind of messing around. They could all kind of be three, but we'll go with warlock to make it different. Make the party different.
Some of them could be either or, right?
Yeah.
Well, we have Mary down next as a sorcerer, which is a spellcaster who draws on inherent magic from a gift or bloodline. We know that they mention their mother a few times in the movie. They say, oh, you know, what would mother think of us now if she saw us now? And every time they mention mother, they all point towards the sky and go, mother.
Mother.
So I don't know if that means their mother was also a witch and if she would be proud of what they're doing or not, but there's definitely something in the bloodline for them for sure.
All right. Those are our D&D classes. Make sure to tell us what you think may be different or suggest. And especially if you know what movie we're doing, well, you will know what movie we do in advance. Start to think of those, suggest those. Get it down to us in all those, get it down to us in those contact links below. All right, here we go with the tier list ratings. We do it from S tier to A to B to C to D. Typically, S is just unbelievable. A and B are rewatched in some ways, and then C and D are just kind of eh in that sense. I'll get us going here for multiple reasons. This is a fucking S tier. This is S tier. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't know if I would have thought that before I watched it again. 96 minutes. Absolute.
Perfect.
96. Hour, 36 minutes. Awesome. It didn't feel that way the whole time while I'm watching this movie. What usually has to happen here, I feel like I talk about this a lot, but it kind of goes what it is. A lot of times, because I drink a lot of water, I can't really sit down for the longest amount of time without having to go to the bathroom. Always by the end of every episode, at the end of every episode, I have to go to the bathroom. This movie, in the middle of it, I was like, I kind of have to go to the bathroom, but I just stayed through it because the notes kept coming. The movie, it's so good. It's a classic. It can probably be just spooky enough for little kids.
Yeah,
it's absolutely in fucking sane in weird parts of it. It is timeless. Like I said, they don't make this like the movies like this anymore. It's such a good thing for 93 too, with the fashion, the rap singer and all that. Absolutely love it. I will watch this again. I will make fun of it at the same time. I'll have some drinks or do whatever. Absolutely love it. It is a stone cold classic for every year. S tier, S tier.
I love that. I love that. I have it down in A, and I feel like after, like whenever we started the podcast, I had it in B, but like a B plus. But then when we talk about it, and I'm like, actually, yeah, that was really funny. And it is really, really stupid and insane in the best possible way. I mean that as a compliment. If I call you stupid and insane, I mean that in a very endearing and loving way. And so I have it in A now, definitely.
Yes, it's unhinged in the right way.
Unhinged in the best ways possible. I love all of the actors. I think all of the actors did a great job. Dani was a standout for me, the little sister. I thought she was just so iconic in every line that she delivered. And yeah, I would absolutely watch it again. I would love if my friend said, do you want to come around and watch Hocus Pocus tomorrow night? I'd be like, absolutely. Yeah, let's do it.
S and A tier.
Very good.
That's it for spooky season. All our spooktacular is over. But after we do this little outro where you can find us, we're going to tease next week's movie. So Lucy, where can we find you?
You'll find me at Lucy J. Robin on most social media. I can hear my voice going.
No kidding.
So I'll not say anything else for now.
Medic! All right, yeah, Lucy J. Robin, find her all mainly there. Find me on the Discord. Obviously, find her. All the stuff about the podcast there. There are a bunch of different channels. It's not just about that as well. All right, we're going back into a weird type of November here. And we usually have it themed by new releases and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But we have like a couple weeks open. Actually, it might just be 1 week. And we kind of listened to some things in Discord. And this other thing came up. So next week, put the bunny back in the box. We're going 30,000 feet in the air for Con Air.
My God. And I know that I've watched this before, but I cannot for the life of me remember the plot, what happens.
I remember this movie. Like I have not seen this movie. I'm not joking. I probably haven't seen this movie in maybe a decade.
Yeah.
I remember. I bet I could write down almost every single everything that happens. I know this fucking movie.
Okay.
I was there on release night, convinced my parents to take me there. I was 13 years old, 1997. Can't fucking wait. I just gave away my tear right there. So.
Oh, well, yeah, I can't remember it at all. So I'm really excited to watch
it
again.
Can't wait. The great Simon West directed 1997's Con Air. Next week, we'll see y'all in November.